Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministry. And I am so excited tonight to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. We're going to call our Bible class to order, our study of the Word of God. We're going to have a short devotion, a song of scripture, and a prayer. And then we're going to go right into the Word of God, giving reference to God, who is my life, and to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places. I thank and praise God on tonight. I give God glory, and I give God praise on tonight. I give him praise. I just magnify his name. We're going to have a song, and then we're going to do a song and a scripture and a prayer. Amen. God bless.
Save me, O God. Make me more like you. Wash me through, create a clean heart, so that I may worship you. Make me more like you. Save me, O God. Watch me through and through. Thank you.
Amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword. But be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are falling themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery in heart. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all the earth. I just read Psalm 57 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come on tonight in the name of Jesus, just giving you all the praise, giving you all the glory, magnifying your holy name, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask you tonight to search our hearts, our mind, and our spirit. If there is anything in there that should not be God, we ask you to remove it right now. We ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind, Father. We just confess and repent today of anything that's in our hearts, Lord, that's not like you, Father. We confess and we repent and we ask for your forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We first of all come and asking you to bind the strong man. Father, you say whatever we bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is already loose in heaven. We bind you, strong man, from our lives. We bind you, strong man, from this radio broadcast. In the name of Jesus, we bind you up, we cast you out, and we command you to go. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we just give you praise. I ask you to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, will increase and minister to us on tonight. Father, let your anointing fall on us tonight. Let your anointing come, Lord, that we may be healed, delivered, and set free. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We just give God praise on tonight. We give him glory. We just magnify his holy name on tonight. We thank God for his holy word this night. We're going to start tonight in our dreams and visions that we've been studying out of. We're going to be talking about the numerology. Numerology in dreaming. Let me get some water here. The Bible is the only legitimate source of knowledge from the symbolic meaning of numbers. Therefore, we're basically and solely discussing this numerology upon the Word of God. We're only discussing, our discussion is based on solely upon the Word of God. Y'all just pray for me tonight. God uses numbers. He uses numbers in dreams. Identically to the way he uses them in scriptures, there is a double blessing in learning about numbers. We can understand both our dreams and the Bible more fully if we know about what the numbers mean in dreams and visions. Once we have mastered the message of our dreams, many passages in the Bible will suddenly take on a complete new meaning. They'll make more sense to us when we learn what the numbers mean. And a lot of us know some of the numbers. I'm sure we do. But when they come in dreams, you know, it kind of like confuses us, because to me, it can mean several different ways and different things, you know. Beginning in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, even a casual reader soon discovers that it is filled with numbers in Genesis. God numbers almost everything. And when he counts, he seldom does it for the same reason we do. When people, you know, in the Bible it says that God don't like us count each other. Like a person got a small church, or a person have a small ministry and one have a large ministry. God don't, you know, that's like boasting in yourself what you think you did. And I'm in total, completely agreement with that, because it's many times God, just like me, sometime, like I said, it's been times I've been on here by myself. And believe me, it's not a good feeling, but I know that I got to do just what God called me to do. So I'm not going to say, well, I ain't going to do nothing because ain't nobody on here. That's a lie. Because the angels, God said, do it. Because I'll send my angels, and they'll be present where you are. And you teach just like it's 500 folks on your line. Or you preach or whatever, you pray, whatever it is. Do not look at small beginnings. Don't. And don't look at the numbers. I don't care what church you belong to, whatever, if it ain't but two or three gathered in his name. He right there. And sometimes it don't be that many. But God said it. He said it. And we got to do it. So, for instance, let's take a look at the number seven. The number seven, most of the time, means complete. But because God completed all his work and finished it on the seventh day of creation, we can reasonably deduct that seven means complete. That's in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2. In fact, most Bible scholars agree that it means complete, finished, or all. And because God rested after he finished it can also mean rest. Seven, the number seven can mean rest. This is what I'm saying, complete. It can mean finish. It can mean all. In the same way, the other 6 days of creation reveals the meaning of number one through six. Like number one. Well, we're going to talk about seven first. Seven in your dream could mean it's complete, or it can mean finished. Or it can mean all. Or it can mean rest. You know, and you have to be really careful when you trying to interpret someone's dream when they dreaming about they resting. You know what I'm saying? Or that they see the number seven, or they dream about seven things. Or, you know, just like the young man, I think it was Daniel. Anyway, was interpreting the dream for the king, and he said it was 7 ears of corn overtook the other 7 ears of corn. But see, that means all or complete. And see, it means different. It means different things in different dreams. So you have to kind of weigh that out and pray about it. Now, number one means beginning. Standardly, the very first number mentioned in Genesis is one. And God defines it at the same time he introduces it. In the beginning was the first day, Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5. We can see that the symbolic meaning for one is beginning. So if you dreaming about the number one, because a lot of times a lot of people dream about one. And we need to know what the mean about numbers. So we need to know what we're dreaming about. We need to know what each number, because I dreamed about numbers before. A lot of them, I dreamed about some the other night, but I didn't get up and write them down. But I dreamed about them. And it was 4109, something like that. And but I need to know what 4 mean. I need to know what the 0 mean. I need to know because it's a meaning and a message in that, in your dreams and visions. The number one is beginning. Another meaning is first, as we might say. God is number one in our in my book. By this we mean that he comes first. He is the best. He's the most important person, and so forth. One thing is for certain. God is number one in every sense of the word of God. Of course, in the natural use of the word, one can also mean singular in one God. So you see, the numbers play such a big role in your dreams and visions. You have to really, especially when you're trying to help somebody else, when you're trying to interpret a dream or a vision that somebody else has, you have to really, I mean, you can know these things, but you still have to go in prayer so the Holy Spirit can open up what the message he's trying to get across to whoever it is. Because most of the time when you dream, it's basically about you. God trying to get a message to you most of the time. Why would he, you know, I mean, I can have a dream about my daughters, my husband, this and that, but whatever the dream is, it's something to do with me, about my children or about my husband. You know, it's mostly about you, God trying to get this message or this vision to you. It's about you. Do we have any questions, any comments? Okay. And I hope you all understood 1 and 7. So number 2 means divide or judge. The Bible defines number 2. The second day, God divided the waters that were under the firmament from the waters above the firmament. So it was 2. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. Through 8. It doesn't take a whole lot to glean from this passage that 2 means divide. At the final judgment, God will divide the sheep from the goat, Matthew 25 and 32. So by extension, 2 means to judge, 2 means to discern, 2 means to set apart. I hope we understand that. 2 means to judge. 2 means to discern. 2 means to set apart. So when you're dreaming of the number 2, know that it could be to judge, it could be to discern, or it could be to set apart. In the same way that the Bible requires the minimum of 2 witnesses before judgment can be rendered. So when you're talking about to judge, the Bible requires a minimum of 2 witnesses before judgment can be rendered. Occasionally, witnesses is an acceptable meaning. Now, the Bible, the concept of dividing and judging are so closely interweaven that you seldom see one without the other, judge and divide. Dividing and judging. One of the clearest examples of this is found in 1 Kings. When Solomon was first crowned king and was at Gibeon offering sacrifices, he had a dream in which he had ask God for wisdom to govern Israel properly. This is an example. After he returned to Jerusalem, two harlots were brought before him for judgment. Both had delivered a child, but one had accidentally killed her own baby and was claiming the living baby as her own. And let me just read this scripture, and it says, and the king said, bring me a sword. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother, therefore, of. And all Israel heard of this judgment, which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do the judgment. And that happened because he gave the child to the mother that was going to give the child up. Because the other one was upset because she killed her own baby. So she didn't want this woman to have her child. So then she said, slay it and divide it. But the woman that the child actually belonged to said, okay, give her the baby. She just wanted to make sure the baby didn't die. And that's judgment and dividing. That's awesome. That's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 24 through 28. One other thought should be considered. These women each accused the other fraudulently. In the court, the alleged perpetrator of the crime is called the accused. By extension, to be judgmental or to accuse is another meaning for two. See, this is so important because when you interpreting it, and this go right along with the prophetic and with discernment and with wisdom. Because when you prophesy to somebody, all of this play a part. Because God can say two, and you sitting up two what? Two, what? You hearing God say one, seven, two, whatever he's saying, and you like, what, God, what, two? You know, what you talking about? And he can be saying to accuse or to be judgmental or to divide or to judge. And you're not thinking that, but these are things that we need to know and to have in our mind and knowledge, and that the Holy Spirit can bring back to our remembrance, especially when we prophesying or even praying for somebody or trying to help them interpret their dreams and visions. We need to know that this is very important. It is very important. The number three, and it means conform. The meaning for this number three, y'all forgive me, excuse me, may not be as easily discerned by reading the book of Genesis. Additionally, study of the scripture reveals the meaning of three as conform. Conform. In the third day, God caused the dry land to appear by dividing the water. And that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. The dry, ashamed land corresponds to our repentance and confession as we sin into conformity to God's image. That's so deep. That's so deep. The dry, ashamed land corresponds to our repentance. So we're repenting and confession as we come out of sin into conformity to God's image. Paul said that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29b, even as Christ himself was conformed to the express image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15. So we should be conformed in all three areas of our being, spirit, soul, and body. A few more meanings that convey this same concept are obey, copy, or imitate. So the number three means to be conformed into the image of God, and that's when you accept Christ and you come out of sin. You are being of God to his Son. So, you don't do this overnight. It takes time for that. But in a dream, if you sin the number three, that's what it means. That's what it means. Obey, imitate, and copy, because we're being conformed to the image of God. Any questions? Any comments? And we're talking about dreams and visions. Okay. The number four. Rule. The number four means rule, R-U-L-E, or reign, R-E-I-G-N. The number four is a little easier to define. In the fourth day of creation, God made two great lights, the sun and moon, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. These were made specifically to rule the sun and moon, the day and the night. From this, we can deduct that four means rule. Although the primary meaning of four is rule or reign, by extension, its meaning may include the ruler's subject. The symbolism of four may include certain aspects of the world, as in the four corners of the world, or the four winds of the earth. That's Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. One word used extensively in Scripture, which embodies both ruler and subject, can also be a meaning for four. Kingdom. By implication, dominion, or dominion, or something, sometimes the symbolic thought contained in the number four. And let me go back over this. The number four means to rule or reign. And God made two great lights, the sun and the moon. These were made specifically to rule the day, and one rule the night. From this, we can deduct that four means rule. So when you dreaming or having a vision, or you had a vision, you see the number four, like I saw the other day, the other night, I saw number four, I saw number one, I saw zero, I saw nine. So I have to put that together and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show me the message he's trying to get to me. Dominion is dominion or dominion. It's symbolic to the number four. So we have the number five, and it means serve. As with the number three now, I don't want you all to get comfortable because I know everybody dream almost every night. And if you don't have, this is why we learning about dreams and vision. So if you have any concern about a dream or a vision, if you had a dream or a vision, you need to bring it forth. You don't have to tell everything. But if you want to know the meaning, if you're trying to interpret a dream or a vision for somebody, this is why we having this study, so we can know more about dreams and visions, because I'm just going over this stuff, and I don't know if you all are getting it or not. The number five means serve, S-E-R-V-E. As with the number three, it's a little more difficult to discover the meaning of number five from the record of creation than it is for the number one, two, and four. The fifth day was the first day that living creatures were made. All living creatures were made for God's pleasure, to serve him. So five means service or work. When God challenged Job, he asked him, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Job 39, verse 9 and 10. Of course, the answer is no. He works for God and only God. This leads to a unique understanding of why God tells us that if we don't pay our tithe, we must add a fifth part to it. If we withhold God's just due, we will go into bondage, into debt. And the borrower serves the lender. Leviticus 27, verse 31. Proverbs 22, verse 7. Five means to serve. We all serve something or someone. The question is, what or who? Serving a good master or laborer for a bad one? Often the choice is ours. While we're talking about serving, by implication, five can also refer to law. The Jews tried to become righteous through their own works by obeying the law. So five also can point to legalism, or one who is legalistic. According to Paul, the law brought bondage. So five can also symbolize various addictions like alcoholism and gambling. And as we previously mentioned, bondage may include debt. The Bible also identifies another type of bondage, fear. That's in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. So the number five actually means to serve. When you dream of the number five, or you sitting around and you have a vision and you see a number five, it means serve or service. Number six, and it means image. It means image. Unveils the creator's meaning for the number of that day. On that day, God made humanity in his own image, Genesis 1 and 27. Although the six has often been called the number of man, that definition unjustly limits it. The meaning of six includes more than just humanity. For instance, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 3 score, which is 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And as the six cubit high and the six cubit wide idol in the verse shows, six can refer to something besides human. Even though idols are images, they aren't necessarily made like humans who have been made after God's own image. Instead, they usually portray demons. That's Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. But being images, the number 6 fits them well. Later, after we discuss 10 and 100, we will explore the meaning of John's infamous 666, that word that we've heard so much about. Just how useful understanding numbers can be is shown in a dream that a pastor recently talked about. He dreamed he was defending himself with what he thought was a 36 caliber pistol. But after he shot and wounded his opponent, he realized that his pistol wasn't a 36 caliber after all, but rather it was a 32 caliber. The meaning, this pastor thought he was conformed to Christ's images, which is 36. But God was showing him that he had a judgmental attitude instead. That's what I'm telling you. These numbers mean what I'm saying. And they mean something. So that's the message. It's the message God was trying to get to him, that he had a judgmental attitude instead. There's quite a stretch between the two. The image Christ portrayed was love. Jesus said he didn't come to judge the world, but he came to save it. So there you have it, 7 days, seven numbers explained. But what about 8 and 9? Again, the Bible has the answer. But before we look for them, we need to examine another concept about symbols, the difference between direct and implied meaning. There were two basic interpretations for each symbol. These basic interpretations are comparable to tree roots in the same way that roots produce plants with branches, each root meaning branches out and produces additional meanings through implication. In other words, branch meanings are applied meanings. To further implicate things, sometimes root branch out in several different directions. In some cases, even the branches produce branches. Two is a prime example. First, the root meaning for two is to divide. By implication, divide means to judge. But to judge properly, one must have at least two witnesses. Subsequently, one branch of judge is witness. By extension, two also mean witness. So it's right there together. In the same way, it may even include the verdict. If we don't search deep enough and uncover the roots, we may mistake a branch for a root, which sooner or later would lead to a misinterpretation. Then when we encounter the actual root, we would be stumped for an answer. If we don't search and find the root meaning, we will misinterpretate symbols. But once we understand root, the implied meanings are relatively easy to see and understand. We find this principle in the common but somewhat mistaken meanings for the number 8. Now, the number 8 means to put off. Always thought the number 8 meant new beginning. But number 8 means to put off. Genesis chapter 17, verse 12 reveals the correct meaning for 8 better than any other verse in the Bible. And everything we do in our lives can be found in the Bible. I mean, just understand that thing we do in our lives, it can be found in the Word of God. So God tells Abraham, he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Paul explains the meaning of circumcision. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin, of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. That's in Colossians 2 verse 11. In other words, the symbolic meaning of circumcision and the meaning for number 8 are the same. On the 8th day, we are to put off our old man or our old self. Therefore, we see that here is the putting off. Now, it's commonly believed that 8 means new beginning. That's what I thought. And indeed, when we put off our old self, we are born again and we start anew. But the correct root meaning of this number is put off. And therefore, the implied meaning, new beginning, won't always properly fit. When circumcising a baby on the 8th day, one can hardly say the baby is having a new beginning, but the covering of his flesh is certainly being put off, just as God commanded. When we study the teens, we will see even more clearly why understanding root meaning versus implied meaning is so important. There are several other passages of Scripture that confirm that put off is the proper root for the number 8. One really good example is when Noah came out of the ark on the mountain of Ararat. When the flood was over, the earth certainly had a new beginning, but Noah didn't land or exit on the 8th year or on the 8th month. Or even the 8th day. Rather, the ark rested in the 7th month and in the 17th day of the month. Genesis 8 and chapter 8 and verse 4. And then Noah emerged on the 601st year in the first month, the first day of the month. As we can see from the numbers used, God finished his work. The ark rested in the 7th month and started anew. Noah emerged on the first year, the first month, and the first day. With God, all beginnings are new, and the number 1 covers them all. The number 1. Another scripture to help us properly understand 8 is Exodus 22, chapter 22, verse 30. When God told Moses to allow the newborn offsprings of the sheep and oxen to stay with their respective mothers for 7 days. But on the 8th day, they were to be sacrificed unto him. Of course, sacrificing their flesh symbolizes the circumcision of our flesh, taking off our old self. And another reference is when Moses reiterated their wilderness journey, where God destroyed or put off the old generation from among their tribes. And the space in which we came from Kadesh until we were come over the brook Zerad was 38 years, unto all the generations of the men of war were wasted out from among the hosts. As Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14. It wasn't until they were conformed to his will, and the old generation, the old self, was put off or wasted out in the wilderness, that they were allowed to go and possess inheritance. So that was number 8. Like I said, I always thought it meant new beginning, which it does mean, or implication of new beginning, because you being circumcised or you being reborn again, you know, you accepting Christ and you being reborn again, and that means new beginning or removing of the old self or the old generation. Okay, number 9 mean fruit or harvest. Fruit or harvest. Do we have any questions tonight or any concerns about anything? Okay. The number 9 means fruit or harvest, and its meaning is made all the more interesting because the age of Noah's grandfather, Methuselah, wait a minute. It was interesting because of the age of Noah's grandfather, Methuselah. He lived longer than anyone else in the Bible. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. That's Genesis 5:27. Some translators say that his name means when he is gone it the flood shall come. Others say it means they died. Either way, as Hosea said many centuries later, also old Judah, God have set in harvest for thee. Old Judah mean God. Judah mean God in harvest for thee. That's in Hosea 6:11. Methuselah's age at death signaled the beginning of God's first harvest of judgment upon the earth. The number 969 reveals that the earth's harvest was ripe. The image and the fruit was rotten and rejected. The first harvest was by water. The second will be by fire. So y'all remember that. The earth was destroyed by water, and the second was supposed to be by fire. Revelation 14:15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sit on the cloud, thus in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That's Revelation 14:15. Although in both of the aforementioned harvest, the earth is cursed, 9 can also signify blessings. In fact, standing the symbolic meaning of 9 gives new and added dimensions to one of Jesus' most moving parables. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So we always know that if, you know, we need to, I don't care, it means the most to God. If you, those 99 that's already unto God, go after that one who's going away and try to bring him back to the fold. 13, verse 4 and 5. So we're going to stop right here. And, you know, we'll continue on Thursday. But I really want you all to kind of ponder this and go over it because this is very important to help and even just interpret your own dreams and visions. But when you help somebody else, when you somebody say, girl or man, I dreamed about this, or brother or pastor, I dreamed about this last night, what you think it means or something like that, you can't just stop and tell them just something crazy. You got to be able to say, if you don't know, then you say, well, let me get back, let me pray about it. Because you just don't jump up and give nobody something you don't know about. And then you come back to them and whatever God gives you to give them, the Holy Spirit, you give it to them. But just don't jump up and give them what you think it might mean. It don't always mean like that, but you pray and ask God, and you have this to study, because this what God, everything is referring back to the Word of God. Everything hinges on the Word of God. Everything, I mean everything. You can go to this Word for everything. I'm just telling you, it's in the Word of God. So you just got to dig deep and find what it means. So we're going to get ready to close out. I just want to thank and praise everyone for being on tonight, as long as you have with me with this dreams and vision. But it's really getting interested. I've been having more dreams, and when you're studying about it, you also are dreaming more, having more visions. Sometimes you don't have to be asleep to have a vision. You could be sitting up in some big column daydreaming and stuff. You may drift out somewhere. But it be God, when you sit still, that God may speak to you and talk to you and get that message across. And so it's been a blessing so far, because I've been dreaming, and he's been waking me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning. I just be almost getting sleep, but it's God, and I can sleep many times. So it doesn't bother me. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come tonight just thanking you, Lord, for your anointing, Lord. We thank you for opening up our minds and understanding tonight, Lord. Father, we ask you for wisdom. We ask you for knowledge and understanding, God, that only you can give us, Father. We just thank you for this word of God tonight. We thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Keep each one of them and their families covered in the shed blood of Jesus, and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them. Now we just give you praise on tonight. We give you glory on tonight. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We just pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen. God bless you all. I love you. God love you too. Have a rest of the night, a good night, and we'll see you right back on Thursday for Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour, and we're going to teach on our dreams and visions as well. Good night. God bless you.
Amen. Good night.